Hey everyone, welcome back to the M&M Hockey Podcast. As always, I'm your host Alex Metzger. Along with me is my co-host Chase McCallum. Today is obviously going to be a recap of the trade deadline and everything that happened. Oh, I don't even have the extensions down either. Yeah, we have about almost 30 things to talk about, not quite, so it'll be a very busy day, so let's just get right into it. I'm going to start with non-trade deadline stuff really quick. David Aries of the maintenance worker / Zamboni driver for the Toronto Maple Leafs had to come in relief. I don't even have much to say about this other than it was hilarious, and I found it hilarious.
Yeah, I found it hilarious too. We were drinking while watching it. I can imagine if you were a Leafs fan and you were just like committing your Saturday night to watching this, that it would have been incredibly infuriating if like you had nothing else going on. You're like, I want to watch my favorite team play some good hockey on a Saturday night. Like, I understand why everybody was so freaking upset online.
Maybe this is just a conversation for, you know, a week from now when we don't have as much to talk about, I would assume. I just want to point out, like, he's been on, like, the Colbert Show now this week. And, like,
yeah, he's been
the late night shows and stuff like that all over television. He's had dozens and dozens of interviews. So I think the funniest thing about it is that the league immediately goes, no, we have to change how this worked.
I hated that so much.
Like, this has been the biggest thing in your league since Gritty.
And the Canes shirts, they were donated. I guess he had, like, a kidney removed.
Yeah, he had a kidney transplant, like, 10 years ago from his mother.
Yeah, so then they were donating money to that. Like, these are unquestionably the best stories in the league every time they happen. The fact that the NHL thinks they're a problem is really concerning to me.
Yeah, and, like, I get it, it's like, you don't want the emergency backup to, you know, like if Carolina would have lost that game, we wouldn't be talking about how funny of a story this is and how great of a story it'd be. It'd be, does Carolina have the right to protest about a team employee for the other team playing in net for them?
Which, like, it would be hard to say they don't have a point there.
Yeah, like, I think, like, I don't know. There's no good solution to that or easy solution. Like, it's tough to have just a neutral employee sitting at every game.
Exactly. And, like, the problem is, it's basically up to David Aries or whoever is in net's integrity. And I guess that's just kind of a moral question of how much faith you have in people's integrity.
Yes, so I don't know. I just want to bring that up real quick. I think maybe that'll be something to talk about a later week. But unsurprisingly, Leafs Twitter went into an absolute chaos meltdown for about 3 days after that, or 2 days.
We've said they should be more calm. This one, I was like, you've got to be kidding. Like, this was the biggest joke I've seen.
I mean, like, it is absolutely embarrassing. Like, to lose to a team, but my word, like, and not even just, like you know, the stupid accounts on Leafs Twitter are going to be saying dumb stuff. But it was just, like people that I respect. Like, the SDP had a full episode about how they, quote, have to trade one of the big four in the summer.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the Toronto, an entire summer of how the Leafs have to trade one of the big four. Meanwhile, the Tampa Bay Lightning win the cup after knocking off the Hurricanes and Washington Capitals on the way there.
Yeah, like, it's just, oh my God. It's one of those things where I don't even know what to say. Like, it's not shocking, I guess, that they went into a meltdown. And, like, there is, I think, something to be said about a team that can't get motivate themselves to get more than 9 shots in 30 minutes.
Yeah, this meltdown, I wouldn't take it as far as saying trade Matthews or whatever, but, like, I completely understand
this. There is
this
definitely
one.
Yeah, there is definitely something wrong with a team that can't motivate themselves, that is in a dead heat of a playoff race. You're being gifted 2 free points.
Yeah.
And you can't, I get that Carolina played a great defensive game. You should be throwing everything on net because it's a 42-year-old.
Yeah, the favorite I saw, David Aries' low danger save percentage in the NHL doesn't exist because they didn't try a singular just like shot from out to see what would happen on
him. You should be ripping them. Like, I don't know. I don't have much to say about that. But the demands were that they wanted Tyson Barrie gone and all that stuff. Barrie didn't end up being moved because the return for him would have been about a third and a B-level prospect, which at that point, fair. I don't really see why you can justify trading Barrie. It just wouldn't make logical sense.
Like, you could justify it, but I don't think it's...
I don't know if you could justify it at this point. Like,
well, you justify it by saying they're not... They're the third best team in their division, the fifth best team in their conference.
I guess, but how far are you going to punt? Because I don't see that, like, changing drastically over the next year or two.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't sell them, but it wouldn't have been, like, the worst thing if they did. But I think the fact that they kept them, especially since... No way Dubas could have known this, but Muzzin gets hurt.
Yeah.
Now he's the only I guess Dermott too. Him and Dermott are the only two real like NHL defensemen on the team right now.
Yeah, I mean,
or guys with experience.
You have Hull and then Sandin and Liljegren that are probably going to get some playing time now too. They traded for Callie Rosen for Michael Hutchinson. That was a trade, I guess. I don't. Colorado wants some goaltending depth. I don't know if Hutchinson's really depth. But...
Rosen specifically asked to go back to Toronto.
Oh, really?
So this was like a huge.
Yeah,
help me out for him.
Well, it doesn't shock me. They're the one who got his career going, and they brought him over, got him all situated and everything like that, you know. So.
And he seemed to be doing well with the Marlies, so
yeah.
Now he gets to be Keefe's probably seventh defenseman in the NHL, so.
Yeah. They signed Jake Muzzin. They didn't do anything over the they didn't do much other than some minor moves over the trade deadline because, again, I think Clifford and Campbell was their big move that they tried to make, much like the Muzzin one last year. They made a couple weeks ahead of time.
Yeah.
But they did sign Jake Muzzin to a 4-year extension at an average cap hit of $5.625 million. I know when we talked about this 2 weeks ago, we had both kind of mentioned it's going to be a risky deal no matter what, but if they go anything over 4 years, it'll be a bad deal. I think this is reasonable.
Yeah, you can definitely see why they did it. I'm not entirely sure if I would have signed it, but based on the way they structured the deal, I'm a lot higher on it than I was originally.
I think it's less than he would have got term and price-wise on the open market, so
agreed.
I think it's pretty clear Muzzin took a discount to come back here, or at least a little bit.
And they can expose him in the expansion draft.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys where maybe he does get taken in the expansion draft. I don't know, like...
You could definitely see him being like a Flurry kind of player.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, look, we have no room for this guy anymore. He can still hang in the NHL. We think, obviously, you have interest in him.
Now, he does have a no-trade clause for 21-22, but still. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. He plays a game where it's like he could fall off at any point, which is a bit scary. He's already 31. But again, it was kind of the same thing I said 2 weeks ago, is you're screwed if you do, you're screwed if you don't.
Exactly.
Because as much as we just talked about punting this year, again, I don't really see them suddenly becoming the best team in their division with how Tampa's stacking up for the next year. And we'll get to that their trades in a bit. But, you know, Boston, even if some of their guys start to take a step back, they're going to be close enough to Toronto where it's like Toronto just won't be the undisputed number one over the next 2 years, but you have to think about going for it, right?
Yeah, well, when they first drafted like Matthews and all them, the path to being the best team in your division seemed a lot easier than it has been since.
Yeah, because Boston, when Matthews got drafted, Boston was on a downswing. They missed the playoffs. They had a disastrous 2015 draft. And then they picked that right back up in 2016-17, found Pastrnak, found McAvoy,
exactly. Guys
like that. And then suddenly they just turned themselves right back into a contender again.
Now, if you're trading futures or whatever, I would way rather have the Leafs season point total in 2 years or whatever than Boston. But Tampa doesn't look like they're going anywhere, which is a big problem.
Yeah, exactly. And like even on the other side, like the Metro, you know, you would assume eventually Washington or Pittsburgh will take a step back. But
I think both of them have to be bad eventually.
But like, when is that going to be? Because when you have, especially Pittsburgh, when you have two of the best players on the planet... Regression doesn't happen as normal. It's even same with, you know, when you have the best goal scorer on the planet, and, you know, you have guys like Backstrom, and I know the Backstrom contract's pretty rich, but he's still a very solid player because Kuznetsov is very good. You know, they got guys like McMichael in their system as well, who's a solid prospect.
Yeah.
You know, the step back might not be as meaty as people think, and even if it is, you know, like Philly, the Rangers, and we'll get to the Rangers in a second. The Hurricanes look really poised to take a step forward eventually. Like, into the... by step forward,
team.
I mean, yeah, to the team where it's like, you know, they're going to be perennial looking for the division lead. But and that'll be a few years down the road, I think. But that's the problem. A problem for the Leafs, but it's also expected. Like, you know, no team... You shouldn't expect to just be the best team or two all the time, right? Like,
no, you shouldn't just walk into that.
No, so... Yeah, I don't know. For Toronto, I think it's a fine extension. I think it's Muzzin is probably, unless he just falls off a cliff by the end of his contract, he's a guy you could probably move if you needed to anyways by the end of the deal.
Yeah, I think this is one of those deals that's going to have a lot of revisionist history. Like, by year four, if they trade a second-round pick to dump him or whatever, everybody's going to be like, I can't believe this idiot signed it.
Yeah.
But, like, at the time, it seems fair.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I thought it was a fine deal. The age is just what... worries me a little bit, and Muzzin got hurt last night by blocking shot. Now, that's just unlucky, but...
Yeah, there's
no
way either party...
No, but the style he plays will lead himself to injuries, I think, a little more often. But,
yeah.
Again, like, not talking about last night, I'm talking about more of what's happened earlier in the year, because he's missed some time, too. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a fine deal. I just don't have much more to say about that. I think it's fair.
Yeah, I agree. And one nice thing, so like Matthews and Marner and all them, Tavares aside, because he actually took less money than he was offered elsewhere, but they all have really bonus-laden contracts, and apparently that's why Muzzin allowed himself to be exposed in the expansion draft. It's nice to see the Leafs actually get something out of loading it up with bonus, because there's no way you could argue they got value on Marner because they juiced his contract with bonuses.
I say for here, he's more open to it because it has $16.8 million of the $22.5 million in signing bonuses. Yeah. And
he gets almost a third of his contract on July 1st.
I was going to say 7.3 of that is straight up front on July 1st. Next year it's 5.5, and then it's 2-2 with 2-2 base salary in the final years. So, it's good to see them also using their money for that. And I guess I'll get to the other part that the trade that they were technically involved in that was also using their money, and that's the Robin Leonard deal.
Yeah, this was awesome.
This was, I think, really good for two of the three teams involved. So Vegas acquires Robin Leonard for forward Martin Zirkles from Chicago in exchange for Malcolm Subban, Stanislav Demen, and a 2020 second-round pick.
A second-round pick,
and I guess Malcolm Subban as a placeholder for this year.
True, he can sit there in the NHL.
And so this trade had to go through Toronto, so I believe Chicago retained, I think it was 40% or 50%. Toronto retained 40% of his contract, and Vegas has 10% of his deal on it, so they can make the cap hit work. So for doing this, Toronto acquired a fifth-round draft pick for the hassle of taking on the cap hit.
$200,000 for a fifth-round pick,
so,
essentially.
I guess let's start from Toronto's real quick. There's not much to say about it other than it's a smart deal. I saw people mad online that they wouldn't use that for a bottom six forward. I don't know what player you're going to add for that price that you actually need.
No, you weren't getting any war for $200,000.
No, exactly. And especially because you were going to have to give up assets, right? Yeah. I don't know.
I will say for this deal, I think we've kind of touched on this before, but every time you'll see Sean Tierney will tweet out a draft pick chart and everybody will say, trade back, fifths and seconds aren't really that far apart. The Leafs are shaping up to be one hell of a natural experiment.
Yes, and I think I brought this up a couple times. They're currently at 3-7, 3-6, and a fifth. And I think
and
they
two
have
fourths.
Yeah, and 2 fourths. And I think their 1/7 as well is, if I'm not mistaken, hold on, let me read on Cap Friendly real quick. I think their 1/7 is just a conditional one. Oh, never mind. They don't have their own. Because I say the one pick that they have is a conditional one on Max Verano playing 10 games this year with Toronto, and that's just not going to happen.
No.
It's an AHL move. So, but yeah, they have 3/7, 3/6, a 5th, and 2 4th round picks this year. So they're really going to be the experiment of what is draft, is the draft value that we say, is that going to work? And obviously you can't just, if it doesn't work for them or if it does work for them, you can't definitively say one way or another because there's so much luck involved.
Though that's the worst part, is the draft, we all know the draft's a crapshoot, but either this is going to work or it isn't, and that's going to be the definitive proof
yes,
that every team should do it.
Exactly. Every time it'll be brought up, so yeah, I don't know. I just think it was smart.
I like
that. It was a really good move. And yeah, I brought up a couple times. I thought that the depth mix is very interesting, especially because they've just kind of silently accumulated them.
They just seem to keep getting them from random spots.
Yeah, I say they'll just pick up a random guy or they'll send a random AHL player for 7th. They'll be like, here you go. And oh, okay, they have another set. Or it'd be in a deal, hey, we'll give you our 2nd for this player, but we want your 7th back with it. It'll be interesting. For Vegas and Chicago, let's get to Vegas. I think this makes Vegas absolute contender in the West before. I think they had one of the best rosters before, but goaltending was killing them. I don't know how you don't look at them as one of, if not the best team coming out of the West now this year. Definitely the Pacific, definitely the Pacific.
Yeah, I know I should be conservative on how much this changes my thought. Goalies are random and everything, but if Robin Leonard is half as good as he has appeared in the past 2 years, this makes Vegas the favorites out of the West.
Yeah.
By a long shot.
Yeah, so. I mean, the teams in the Central are still pretty good. I like St. Louis's roster.
Yeah.
I like Colorado's roster and Dallas to some extent as well, and even Nashville's roster's fine, but I don't know. They're making playoff push, but this Vegas team has just been so dominant, and in the past, 4 weeks or whatever, I'm pretty sure they're at 65% expected goals or something
they're killing
dumb
it.
Like that.
They are the, assuming Laner's good, which I think It was a fair enough assumption at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
good enough for long.
He's enough. Definitely got to be an upgrade on the 900 save percentage that they've been getting.
Yeah, so assuming Laner can still hang, they're the only team in the West that I would take as a top four team in the East.
Yeah, probably. I think so. Like, again,
I don't know where exactly I'd put them, but they would be in the Boston, Tampa, Washington, Pittsburgh tier.
Yes.
And no other team in the West I would put there.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'll probably get some people saying, what about St. Louis? But their underlying metrics haven't been...
Yeah, I'm not that...
But, I mean, that means they're still very good team. I think they're just like a step below the big four, if you want to count five now, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's an obvious four in the East. If Leonard can even be, even 9-15, I think he's a better than like a 9-12 goalie too.
Yeah,
I think he's shown like
maybe the best goalie in the league the past 2 years.
Yeah, like he's been unreal. And like, I guess for like, if I'm Chicago, I don't know why you trade him over Corey Crawford. I get Corey Crawford won you two cups, but he's also been dealing with crazy injuries since like 34 years old.
Yeah, unless there just wasn't anything to get from Corey Crawford.
I don't care. Re-sign Robin Leonard.
I don't hate it for Chicago because they're bad.
I guess, yeah. Robin Leonard had a 930 last year, and obviously that was the huge Islanders defense, but I think he also proved that it was also him this year because Chicago's defense sucks.
Yeah.
It's so horrible, so garbage. They're horrible defensively. 918 save percentage.
Yeah, and his adjusted save percentage is still fantastic.
Yes.
Like you said, they're a dumpster fire.
Yeah, so... Like, I guess the reports out of Chicago was that they just weren't close enough to a contract extension. Chicago didn't want to do more 2 or 3 years, and Leonard wants a little more long-term, and I think that's fair on both sides of things. Yeah, I guess, like, if you're Chicago, yeah, maybe this is just another step in actually convincing themselves they should rebuild, but they didn't do any other selling this year.
No, they didn't do any other selling, but as far as this trade specifically, I'm never going to fault a bad team
for
getting a pick.
I guess in a vacuum, it's fine.
Especially a second. Second for a goalie at the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I think that shows... Well, I mean, it should have been what... Like, this is kind of reminds me of the deal that I think San Jose should have made for... Howard last year.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like a third or something for Howard. But, you know, Vegas went out and realized now they have a legit guy. I'm sure he'll play behind Fleury to start just because the whole, you don't want to just give him the starter's role. But he's good. He's way more than good enough to light a fire under Fleury's ass and get him playing when Fleury's struggling.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Let's see. What else do we got? We got to keep moving here. Let's go just from the day before the trade deadline, I guess. Cody Eakin goes to the Winnipeg Jets for like a fourth round pick.
We did that one, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah, because we talked about how he's bad.
Oh, okay. Well, if we did, he's bad. I don't understand.
And expensive.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah, we did do that. That was right as we're recording. Then Ilya Kovalchuk goes from the Habs to the Washington Capitals for a third-round pick. Thought this was really good from both sides. I think the Capitals get some depth scoring that can help him on probably power play two, I would assume. But
I would think so, because you'd think you'd want him as a primary shooter, but
yeah.
On Ovi's power play, you're just not going to put him there.
Especially with like John Carlson on the power play and stuff like that too. But yeah, help your power play and depth scoring as well for a third-round pick for Montreal. You picked the guy up for free, got some good experience. Apparently, if he is back as a UFA this summer, Montreal will be one of the teams definitely in on him, and it sounds like
cool.
He enjoyed his team so time there. So you get a... free third round pick for absolutely nothing for picking a dude up for a couple months. Like,
yeah, this was great for Bergevin. Free third round pick.
Yeah, you can't complain about that.
No, absolutely not.
It's a great, great play. That's one of the deadline trades that we're accustomed to seeing, I think. And it's a very, very smart move, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's too bad there's so many good right hand shots on that Washington power play because it'd be cool to see him play on the top unit.
Yeah, for
sure. Just to see if he still has a left, but he's definitely not going to play there.
No, and I mean, obviously, you just wouldn't.
No, it wouldn't be smart
that,
to take
right?
John Carlson off for him or something, I wouldn't think. But
no. And then the other trade Washington made, a smaller one, Daniel Sprong from Anaheim in exchange for Christian Juice. They got a loaded blue line now. You know, they've picked up some guys, and I guess, you know, I don't know. I don't have much to say about this. Like,
I was high on Juice in the past, but it's clear that he's not going to be playing for Washington
right
now. And
yeah, I don't know. Sprong's a fine enough pickup. He went to...
He had some upside.
If you can just play him on your fourth line, I mean, is it... I don't know. Like, I think... I'm pretty sure his underlying numbers this year were pretty solid.
Yeah, he's actually got... like decent results in the NHL, but it's a small enough sample.
It's a tiny sample, but like
he's also been good in the AHL at a relatively young age, so maybe he's got like Josh Levo style, like third line scorer upside.
Yeah, like it's only been 100 minutes, but it's like it's very red. It's plus 50% threat. So obviously sample size there with Anaheim, though. But if you're the Washington Capitals, even if he doesn't play much this year, this is the perfect guy. He's an RFA, I believe, at the end of this year. It's the perfect guy to re-up for really cheap next year because you're probably going to need to shed some more salary going into next summer. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, you can get rid of, you know, someone in your middle six and hope that he can take a spot in your bottom six and replace those guys.
Yeah, or say Brandon Leipzig somehow finds a way that he's too expensive. You can try him at that role.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like it seems like a fine pickup for a guy you weren't going to use.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to Edmonton then. How about that? They made a trio of trades this deadline. They picked up Mike Green, Tyler Ennis, and Andreas Athanasiou. So for Tyler Ennis, they got a fifth round draft pick. They gave up a fifth round draft pick. For Mike Green, they gave up Kyle Brodziak and a fourth, so a fourth. And for Athanasiou, they gave up
two seconds
and Sam Gagner's salary. So, I thought this was, kind of what in line, what I wanted to see Edmonton do.
Yeah. The Green deal. I didn't really like giving up an asset for Green, but
yeah, I guess that's the one thing, but you know, if you want some depth on the back end, but I like the two forward picks a lot.
I really liked Ennis for a fifth.
Yeah. I mean, I'm shocked from Ottawa's perspective. That's all you could get from him. But from all accounts, the market just didn't seem to be there,
which is fair enough.
Yeah. Which is like, I'm not blaming Dorian for that or anything. I'm surprised.
Well, like the Ennis for a fifth is the, like back when Levo was leaving Toronto, everybody was like, just give something up to get this guy. Like Ennis for a fifth is the exact kind of trade we've been screaming about Edmonton to make for forever.
Exactly. And the Athanasiou deal, 2 seconds, and he's got cost control. Like he's an RFA at the end of this year. I would assume they'll re-up him. He seems like the exact type of guy that should be fitting on Edmonton.
Yeah. Remember when Barry got traded and we were like, his underlying numbers are kind of bad, but you can totally see how it would work with him in Toronto?
Yeah.
This reminds me of that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, his underlying numbers aren't great, but he's also, when you have to try and play in Detroit, who is on pace for 43 points this year. Yeah, it's not shocking that they're not great. He has a ton of speed, and, you know, he has some skill. He's shown some skill.
Shooting talent and speed, David's dream winger.
Exactly. If you plug him in with McDavid, so last night they had him, McDavid, and Ennis on the line. Ennis and Athanasiou both had a goal and assist each. Yeah. They still lost in overtime, but Mike Green had a point, I think, too. But, yeah, no, I thought this was a really smart deadline. The Mike Green thing is a little weird. They gave up a fourth, and it's conditional fourth, so if the Oilers make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and Green plays at least 50% of the games, it turns into a third-round pick, which at that point, if you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, you probably don't care. But, you know, I thought they should be trying to pick up low-cost wingers, and Athanasiou is not necessarily low-cost, but he also is probably going to be here for more than 1 year. So
yeah, they have his rights, so maybe they sign him to, like, a three-year contract or something.
I think they should. Like, I don't think he would be super expensive. Like,
and I could see him liking it there.
Yeah, I mean, if you get to play against play with Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl on one of those two lines, I don't see how you're going to be complaining about having a spot there and maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years of job security about where you're going
to
be.
Exactly. And same with Ennis. Everybody just assumes players like to go to warm places, but Ennis clearly has no problem staying in Canada. Maybe he signs cheap for $1 million or something because he likes it there over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I thought he should have made more than $1 million just based off of what he did in Toronto last year, and Ottawa got him for $800K.
And then he did it again.
I was saying there's no market here there's no trade deadline market for him that was really there, so maybe he'll be undervalued again come this summer. So
yeah,
I know that's two really smart pickups in my opinion. And you know, I think, you know, now with Vegas and having a goalie, they're very clearly the favorites in the West.
True.
But I still think if you're Edmonton, you're putting yourself in a spot where you're at least second or third, I think, in your division.
Yeah, I think so.
So you're trying to give yourself a shot to do something with McDavid, which, again, I think is fair given that it wasn't, it's not like you're giving up a first and a ton of prospects to go all in on this year, because it's a this year move, but it's also somewhat of a, it can be a futures move as well.
Yeah, like at least Athanasiou, we could be looking back in 5 years and looking at him as one of the, not obviously main pieces, but
like a nice supporting cast. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so I like that. I thought that was pretty smart from Edmonton's side of things. From Detroit, you got a fourth for Mike Green. That's a solid pickup.
Love that for Detroit.
And Athanasiou, I thought the return was fine as well. I didn't really see him with how bad they are. I just didn't really see him fitting in their long-term plans. And
no, like, he's good, but he's not great, so I like them getting 2 seconds out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was smart. You know, I'd rather see them get some draft picks and try and really restock their prospect cupboard so when they're good in 2 or 3 years again.
Exactly.
Or trying to be good in two or three years again, I should say, I guess. But I think that was the only big trades that Detroit made.
Yeah, they didn't do much.
Yeah.
They don't really have a ton of UFAs.
No, they really didn't have a lot to sell off.
A ton of useful UFAs.
Yeah. Because Jimmy Howard, no one's touching him this year.
And, like, most of their decor's up, but nobody's looking at a single one of those players and thinking, wow, I need them for assets.
I need a 36-year-old Trevor Daly or a 35-year-old Jonathan Erickson. Like, I don't know. I thought that it was fine what they did. So, and then I'm trying to think of who else you're looking at it from. I guess Ottawa. We can talk about their deadline real quick. I had a big rant on Thursday or whenever we recorded about how if Ottawa screws this up, I'm going to be very, very mad. Well, guess what? They didn't screw it up. No. I thought I would give their deadline a B+, mainly because of one trade, and that's about it. The rest was a little underwhelming, but
the rest was all just like a perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Like you were supposed to sell, you sold, you didn't do anything better or worse than that.
Yeah, I'd say one thing was really, really good, and then the other stuff was slightly below average.
Yeah.
Like I just don't think trading away Dylan DeMello and keeping Ron Hainsey is smart.
No, that was annoying. Just keeping Ron Hainsey, period.
Even so we'll get to the two small ones. The return for Ennis, I was underwhelming. I don't think that was Dorian's fault. He didn't really have anything to do. Didn't sound like the market was there.
No market.
Nemestikov went to Colorado for a fourth. I thought that was a good pickup for